The youth will be staying in today. And while children are slipping out, I want to share a video with you. And just listen and receive. Sister Jerry sent this video to me, and so I sent it to you. God is good. God bless America, because it was founded in hope in God. Praise team, thank you. Appreciate our praise team. Give them a hand, would you? That's your praise team. And their job is to bring you into God's presence and God's presence to you. The psalmist ministry is not songs, it's worship. Just now we shared with you, y'all can go ahead, Ray Charles's America. And some people, you know, they'd have a hard time with that. But I think all talent came from God. Right. And a little blind Georgia boy went on to change the world of music. Yes. Now, recently something's been going on in the house of the Lord. Well, it started years ago when I started changing songs. I'd come in and Brother Richard and Sister Michelle would have to put up with, I wanted to change this hymn or that hymn, and I wanted to put a different beat and a different rhythm to it. And sometimes I wanted to change the words because so many of the hymns of the church are so filled with unbelief, you'd think the devil wrote them.
All right.
One more valley, one more hill, one more trial in life's road, and I'm going to throw up. But you see, this little blind person from Georgia didn't let his handicap keep him captive. And in 1961, when he was banned from coming to Georgia, he took up residence in Houston, Texas, and then enjoying the greatness of this fine state, moved to Dallas. Some of y'all remember when he was living in Dallas and singing in clubs and places there and around the state. If Georgia didn't want him, Texas did. And I loved it. In the 60s, when he decided to break out into country western, I said, if it's Ray Charles, I'll go with you. And it was Ray Charles that introduced me to Ray Price, because there was a little bit of jamming going on in Dallas when they both lived there. Of course, all of y'all know these things. What you don't know is that towards the end of the 50s, Ray Charles began to have his biggest hits. You know how they occurred? He took gospel songs and put secular words to them. Yeah, I got a woman, live way across town. He took gospel music, put secular words to them, and they began to be hits all over the world. Tell me why. Why did he begin to have his biggest explosion of success when he was stealing hymns from the church and putting secular words to gospel music? Because as soon as people heard it, either they identified with it because there was life in it, or the religious, you know, the church ladies, they got upset because it's a sacrilege. You're taking gospel music and putting secular words with it. Well, at House of the Lord, we began to take secular music and put gospel words with it. Because good music is good music, and it all came from God. And sometimes we don't need to curse a thing. What we need to find out is there life in it, and can it be turned? Because if the world, there ain't a jazz band any place, Raymond, that don't know when the saints go marching in. Well, if they can release records and sell, taking our music out there, how come we're not taking our music out there? And sometimes we can learn from Ray Charles that we got some good music, we just got some bad words. Defeat, death and destruction rather than life and liberty, because God uses music. And so when you hear the praise team changing up your favorite hymn, well, stop and ask yourself, why did they change the words? Because words have meaning. When you hear them take a secular song and put new words to it, there wasn't nothing wrong with the music. It was just the message it was carrying. The devil learned a long time ago that he can get lies into your spirit if he puts it on the wings of music. And there are things that people will sing that they would never say. You drive down the road, baby, shake that thing. But you would never say that to anybody. Maybe if God can marry the right words to the right beat, you'll start singing you some truth and change the world. I told you we were preparing to come to you with our next chapter in identification, and the Lord wasn't giving me anything to go with that chapter of identification. Everything he was giving me was going in a different direction. So finally, I put the identification stuff aside, and I said, all right, Daddy, what is it that you have for me? And I began to write. Then I did a little research to see what other people were writing on the subject, and we bring it to you today. Matthew 21 is quoting from the Old Testament. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Some people finish that verse and that's all they can think about is the robbing going on in the house. But God said his house was to be a house of singing, preaching, assembling together. He said, I want my house noted for one thing. There's prayer going on in there. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Now, you can put that on a building, the house of God, or you can put that on yourself, the home of God. The Lord said this, the house of the Lord and the Lord of the house are one in this opinion. Prayer must proceed from my house, whether it's the physical structure or yours. In a time and season such as we live in today, prayer for leadership is more important than ever before. I've been of late seeing a whole lot of junk going out saying that we need to curse what's going on. This ain't Pastor Wright's church. This is God's church. And I'm not going to teach you how to curse people. However, if they become a weapon formed against the work of the Lord, you are authorized by Scripture to curse what they're doing and to cast down the fruits of their words. But it's when it rises against you and your cause, not when it rises against your persuasion or your particular view of life. We defend the truth. We let God defend us. The effective. What does it mean, Pastor, the effective? Well, the King James, the effectual fervent prayer. The effective, word-based prayer of a righteous man, one who's washed in the blood, can accomplish much. You're not righteous because you do righteous. You're righteous because you're washed in the blood. The effective, fervent prayer. What is effective and fervent? I believe what I'm praying, and I'm praying the word. So this verse is very simple. The effective, word-based, fervent prayer of a righteous man who is a born-again child of the Most High God can accomplish much. I don't need a million prayer warriors coming together because a million prayer warriors is a congregation of unbelief. Because if they were a believer, they would know I don't need, 999,999 other people agreeing with me. All I need to do is agree with God and His Word. I told you, at a time when England was entering into war with Spain, and the Queen was told, the Spanish Armada is coming up the mouth of the Thames. And at the same moment, someone came to her and said, John Knox has decreed he is setting himself for a season of prayer against you and the crown. And she said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than I fear the Spanish Armada coming up the Thames. Why? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous believer. When the Bible says man, it's neuter gender. It's not gender specific. It's neuter gender because God called their name Ish. Adam said, no, we ain't both going to be Ish. I'll be Ish, and she came out of me, so she'll be Ish-Osh. Now, your King James says Adam and Eve, but those of you who know the Scripture, God called his name Ish, man. Man said, she be whoa, man. Because when I saw her, I went, whoa. But God called their name Ish. Why? God sees us all the same. We're all kids. Thank God he made some of us prettier than others. But prayer is a God-given authority to exercise the will of Jehovah, Lord of hosts and the earth. If you underline the will of Jehovah, Lord of hosts. Why? Because too many people are praying their will and not God's will. Well, I don't like this. I'm going to pray. Wait a minute. Like is not an imperative for prayer. God said is. Man under God, rule over all the earth. Now, this is a transliteration from Genesis 1, 26 and 28. It is not a literal translation. So in case somebody, you know, gets their underwear in a knot because the Bible doesn't say this word for word, this is transliteration. Man under God is the command. Rule over all the earth, over every creeping thing. Subdue the earth. Rule over everything that moves on the earth. The believer, this was before the fall of man, and we are after the redemption of man, so we're plugged back into what Adam fell from. So your New Testament begins with Genesis chapter 1 down to Genesis chapter 3. Then it goes to 1 John chapter 1, and then it goes back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because when you take out all the times of disobedience and just include obedience, then your New Testament is Genesis 1 and 2 and part of 3, 1 John chapter 1, and then the New Testament. The believer is empowered to rule and reign with the anointed Redeemer. Reign in life through the anointed Redeemer. Reign in life through the anointed Redeemer does not mean reign in life with what you want to say and pray, but Friday it means with him, so I am representing him, so I do what he wants done. His authority is our authority as joint heirs with the anointed Redeemer. Romans 8:17 says we are fellow heirs. When we yield our will to the will of our Father, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, John chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, we always do his will, we can stand in his authority and rule over the affairs of earth. We do nothing in ourselves of our own volition or initiative, but we do what God has already empowered through his word. Pray the word. Matthew 28, 18 and 19, our Lord and Redeemer said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, he said, I'm deputizing you to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're deputized to represent me, not your will, not your plan, not your purpose, but you are deputized to represent me. The power I've been given, I give to you. In your prayer life, it should begin with Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 28. Then you should move to Matthew 28, 18 and 19. You should go to Hebrews and say, well, I rule and reign with him. This is my authority to pray as him. 1 Timothy, therefore I exhort first of all, here's your first duty, I offer supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Well, Pastor, we don't have a king. Well, somebody needs to tell the president. But he is what a king is in other countries. He is our head, our lead person. Therefore, we're to be praying for him, not about him. Four areas of conversation with God are spoken of in this passage we just read. Don't be a skip reader. Just skip over that because it doesn't make sense. He said, I exhort that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks. That's four arenas of conversation with God that are to occur on behalf of leadership in our nation. Four areas of conversation with God the Father are addressed here. All four will come into play at one or more times as you lift leadership before the throne of grace. Supplications. These are entreaties. In fact, some translations, instead of supplication, say entreaty. Entreaty means earnest asking, to offer urgently with worship. To offer urgently with worship. What does that mean? Well, here's how you offer urgently with worship. Father, you said in your word that it was your will that's to be done in the earth. Therefore, I pray for our president, for our Congress, for our executive, legislative, and judicial branch. I pray that they do your will, and I decree it to be unlawful, illegal, improper, and forbidden for any spirit of darkness to try to persuade them in any way contrary to your will. You see, that's earnest supplication or entreaty. You're entreating God on behalf of someone based upon his word. Well, Pastor, what are prayers? Prayers means to bring before God his word, his promise, or his will on a matter. Father, you said it was your will that I pray for leadership so that I could lead a quiet and peaceable life. Lately, there's been times when my life wasn't that quiet and peaceable. So I'm going to get busy praying for leadership. Now, Father, I lift leadership before you. And as I do, I decree that your will, your plan, your purpose is being done in their mind, in their spirit, and in their office. You don't pray, God, sick the Democrats on the Republicans. Sick the Republicans on the Democrats. Sick the independents on both of them. There is no party that represents your God. But there was a time when there was a party that cooperated with your God. Intercession. Intercession means the act of being a go-between for parties who are at variance. Well, right now our government is at variance with our God and his word. Or the decisions by our senators and congressmen wouldn't be going on. The decrees by our federal court wouldn't be going on. The actions of our executive branch wouldn't be taking place. Siding with Arabs against Israel, that wouldn't be happening. So you become a go-between between the parties that are at variance, secular humanism in the earth and the will of God for the earth. And you pray with a view to reconciliation, meaning to stand in the gap and make up the hedge between God and the men in office, the women in office. Giving of thanks. To offer heartfelt gratitude for a thing, a word that God has given, a promise that he's made. A prophecy that comes forth. Father, I thank you for the words that came forth this morning, talking about the change you want to make in us and in our nation. I receive those changes, and I give thanks in advance for those changes. And I praise you, they're happening now, and I'm a part of those changes. And with my eyes, I'll see the destruction of the wicked, but I'll see the glory of God revealed in the earth. That's giving thanks, and that's how you apply it to leadership and to the working of the Holy Spirit in the earth. So giving of thanks is to offer heartfelt gratitude for something God has said, something God has done, something God has promised. Giving of thanks is a form of praise. Now, I told you the division between praise and worship is this. Praise speaks of what God has done. Worship speaks of who God is. Now, some people think praise and worship means fast songs and slow songs. Praise is fast song, worship is slow songs. No. Praise is the expounding of what God has done. Father, I thank you that you and you alone have made me, that you have created me capable of being your representative in the earth. Now we're praising God. Worship. Father, you are God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. There is no God like unto you. Worship describes God. Praise attributes to God works that He has done or is doing. We pray for leadership to ensure quiet and peaceable lives for us and our families. He said, if you're praying for leadership, you'll have quiet and peaceable lives. Well, Pastor, ain't been quiet and peaceable around my house, then I know what you ain't been doing. Praying for leadership. You see, when God tells you to do something, He attaches a blessing for performance. Pastor, are you telling me that if I start praying for leadership in my country and around the world, I can get the blessings of God made manifest? God promised it. God said, Queen, when you're praying for leadership, I'll see to it you have a quiet and peaceable life and that blessings overtake you. We pray for leadership to ensure quiet and peaceable lives for us and our families. It's better to pray for leadership than to curse it. We pray for leaders to obey our Lord and King. We pray for leaders to expedite God's will in their lives and for our lives. You see, when our leaders execute proper legislation, we'll live better. When they do God's will in their offices, whether executive, legislative, or judicial, we get a better life out of the deal. Pray for God's will to be done in the three branches of government and for it to flow down from there to the city you live in. It is our Lord's will in the Old Covenant for His people under law and even in captivity to pray for their leaders. While they were in captivity, they were told to pray for the leaders. Why? When you're praying for the leaders, God can act in their lives. When you're not, the devil can. You can keep the devil out of the details if you'll pray for your leadership. It is still His will for the church today to pray for leadership. Ezra, so that they may offer sacrifices pleasing to God of heaven and pray for the well-being of the king and his sons. Oh, we don't like this king. Pray for their well-being. Jeremiah, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Wait a minute. We're in a land that's a pagan, heathen land. Why should we pray for leadership here? Because if we're praying for them, then God can work and He can raise up a Moses to get us out of here. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper too. If you have been doing this, repent and stop it. Listening to idiots on the radio and television and on tapes who are prophesying the destruction of America. Idiots who are prophesying God is judging America. That is a damnable lie of the devil. And don't you dare listen to that trash. You can't believe God for revival while saying amen to somebody cursing our nation. Well, Pastor, they need to see the end of their deeds. They can see the end of where their deeds would take them by you praying that their eyes would be opened, and then none of us has to go there. But when you damn the government, you're damning you. I heard idiots on there, it's time this government had a reckoning, and I decree it's going to crash and burn. How are you going to get groceries next week if the government crashes and burns? Now, at a time where it didn't seem right or proper, I was prophesying to you the destruction of the European Union. And there were people who left the church and judged me and said, that can't happen. But with your eyes, you're seeing it happen right now. Why? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man can bring down an amalgamation of nations. Because those of you who have been here for a season, if you've been here 4 or 5 years, you were here when I did it. And some people, Pastor's gotten too big for his britches. Who does he think he is? Judging the European Union. I'll tell you who he thinks he is. A righteous man who has the authority to decree a thing. And I told you, the European Union will crumble. It'll begin with Greece and it'll spread throughout. And those of you who have been here a season, remember when I did it. Because I didn't do it hiding behind the pulpit. I was standing down front telling you. Now it's happening. I told you years ago that China would rise up and try and destroy the U.S. dollar, and that when they did, it would be the signal for their downfall. what's happening right now. While some people are saying, well, Pastor, you know, with the Asian Infrastructure Bank and China getting 56 nations together to join with them to unseat the U.S. and the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, we're in trouble. No, we're not. You can say, Father, I thank you that years ago our pastor told us this was coming and prayed against it and told us to pray against it, and China will not defeat the U.S. The dollar will not die because of the yuan or the renminbi. It won't happen. China has two currencies, one for the public, the yuan, and the renminbi for their international. You don't need to know all this. Neither do I. What do I know about world currencies? If the leadership prospers, you will too. A year ago, I was asked if I would help Steve become mayor of Austin. And that was right after he announced that he was soliciting the gay and lesbian community to support him. And he came from no place to the mayor because he went to the power brokers in our community to get behind his run for mayor. I want to say this to you by the Spirit of Truth. If you from this place and from this house and from this house, your, pat your tummy, your house, y'all are the most disobedient people, I tell you, pat your tummy, and half of you sat there just looking at me. Pat your tummy so it knows it ain't time for lunch yet. As for me and my house, we're going to the county line.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you. I just had to stop and give thanks. But if the believers in this congregation had been praying the word of truth concerning our city, do you know where a mayoral candidate would come to get blessing to go to office? There was a time in our nation where no one would run for office until they got the religious community behind them. But while the religious community began to draw away from politics, the devil has filled that void.
Wow.
But Friday, that void belongs to the church, and we need to step back into it. And Brian, when we begin to pray godly prayers concerning our city, our county, our state, our nation, and the world, the leaders in the political realm will come to the church and ask for its blessing. Because there was a day that a man could not be king without the prophet's blessing. That day is returning, church. God started from the very beginning of this service to speak to us today about this message. As you listen to the message now, you go, wait a minute, I remember what Brother Sean said, what Brother James said, what Sister Gail said, what Pastor said in his opening remarks as he began to share what the Holy Spirit was saying. God was preparing the people present. Oh, Pastor, I just wish Sister So-and-so was here. I wish Brother So was here because they can pray. No, you're here. God knew you would be here. And God don't preach a sermon for people that ain't here.
Right. That's good.
The fact that you're here says God sees you as a spark plug, an igniter to be used of the Spirit to start a flame that will bring the fire of revival to our nation.
Amen.
Whether you realize it or not, our success, safety, and prosperity often hinges on who is in authority or leadership over us. We can have the government God wants for us, or we can have the government we get by neglect of pursuing what God wants for us. Whether leadership is godly or just, or of our party or persuasion, matters not. Our prayer in line with God's word works for our good, and it works His will on our behalf. When I'm praying for leadership, I'm ensuring that I have a better life. Don't listen to the people who tell you the American dollar is about to get what it deserves. America's chickens are coming home to roost. No. America's angels are rising up with healing in their wing to bring a new flow of God's presence and power in this nation that totally turns around because some people are getting sick of the mess that's been going on. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. Remember the word he said? Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. He didn't say, let them be hooked up with them. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Now I want you to stop, because I want you to get this defining point. Demetrius, when he said there's no authority except God, that doesn't mean the person. That means the office. Church, listen to me. There is no authority. What authority does George Bush have today? Bush 41. Carter? What authority do they have? Why? They're not in authority. They were an authority. So understand this. You're not praying for the man. You're praying for godly function in the office. Well, Pastor, what I pray for the man, that the eyes of his understanding be opened, that his heart become tender to God. You deny Satan and all powers of darkness access to them. You pray that their ears be closed to deception and to devious schemes and plans of darkness. You pray that every word of truth they've ever heard come alive in them, and that they find in the night season God visits them in their dreams and visions with his will and plan and purpose. Well, Pastor, I'd just rather pray that God let them burn in hell. I know you would. I've been tempted there. In fact, there's times that I've told God, you know, if you need a holy assassin, just tell me. I will take them out. Just need to know it's your will. I could suggest a list of names if you need it. He doesn't respond. Because we are limited in our scope of vision to see all that is going on, we can get in God's way with our self-willed prayers. God, your will is going to be done, this decision. If you have to wake them in the night season, they will vote right, because in the night season you woke them. And because you woke them in the night season, with your word and truth, they'll go to their office and vote your way, not their will. Not their backers. Not the bribe they were given to vote a certain way. Sometimes a life lesson is being played out on the eternal stage that involves more than we can see. If there hadn't been a Pharaoh that said no to Moses, we wouldn't have a whole lot. If there hadn't been cruel and unjust leadership that threw Daniel in the lion's den, we wouldn't have illustrations of God's power to deliver. If there hadn't been an evil king on the throne being led by Satan to throw the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, we would not have. Are you listening, church? Most of the illustrations in your Bible would be gone if it wasn't for evil men violating God's will and God showing us how, in the midst of that storm of evil, God exalted truth. Church, pray for your leaders. Sometimes you notice when I do wear a French cuff shirt that I'll be wearing round gold, yellow gold or white gold cufflinks. That's the seal of the President of the United States. I have half a dozen sets of cufflinks from presidents in white gold and yellow. We'll only have one pair of white gold. Most of them use yellow gold. But I wear them with pride. Why? Because that's an office God ordained, is not the man that's in it. And there hadn't been that many men in it that listened to God, because there hadn't been that much of the church praying that they would have their ears open to hear God's voice. Pray the word concerning leadership, not our feelings, not our will, not our perspective, and certainly not our party. Where sin seems to be in great abundance, yes, this is gospel according to Jim, not the King James Version. Where sin seems to be in great abundance, there grace will come into greater manifestation. Amen. Pastor, there's so much evil in the earth today. Hallelujah! Grace. Thank you, Jesus. Because the more sin there is, the greater the river of God's grace flooding in. And I decree renewal, refreshing, restoration, a season of God's abundance, equipping us to get in a place where we don't have to go to work anymore. But we can work the work of the kingdom instead. I pastor the wealthiest group of people, the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. And abundance is coming to you now through so many different channels. There is no shortage of God, no shortage of His love, no shortage of His grace. But we must work with Him so that it's dispensed on our behalf. When we work together with His will, His plan, His purpose, guided by His Word, we qualify for His manifest presence and power. Our Word-based prayer brings God's purpose into play in our land, city, county, state, or federal. But in all these things that oppose us, we are more. We are more. We are more than conquerors in all these things that oppose us through the anointed Redeemer who loves us. Pastor, what does that verse mean concerning what you're teaching today? When Roger is praying God's will concerning leadership, he becomes more than a conqueror because he gets the benefit of their righteous laws and judgments. Oh, church. Oh, church. Did you know right now there is no reason for our nation to have income tax? We have more oil under the Rocky Mountains than Saudi Arabia, Libya, and Iraq combined. Why isn't it being pumped? And it should not be leased to an oil company at $1,000 a year for them to make the profits. Our government should be working deals with oil companies. All right, you pump the oil, you sell the oil, but we get 50% of the profits. So instead of Exxon making $4 billion a year off of your oil that belongs to you because this is the country God gave you, when Sarah Palin was governor of Alaska, she made Exxon pay a check every year to every citizen of Alaska at the Christmas season. A single person got a check for $1,600. A couple got it for $3,200. A couple with children got it for... If Alaska can do it with their oil, what can we do with our oil in the continental states if it was, all right, Exxon, Shell, whoever, you can pump it, but the money goes straight into a annual distribution fund. In Iraq right now, they just passed legislation that every person in Iraq gets a check every year from the oil sold that comes out of the ground in Iraq. Instead of us paying to run our government, they could be paying us. There's a presidential order right now that no tree in Alaska can be cut without a permit, even if it's on your own property. If it's more than 19 inches, it cannot be cut down. There is enough wood in Alaska right now that could be reforested, replanted, to build all the houses in America. But it can't, none of it, and it's falling over and rotting and dying, and forest fires are occurring because it's not being managed. Environmentalists are making sure it can't be touched. What if all of the government trees were being properly cut and reforested? Because there's more trees in America right now than there was when Columbus got here, because of foresting and management and replanting. Johnny Appleseed wasn't the only one planting trees. And to quote Lady Bird, ain't tree, ain't bush, or ain't shrub. A lot of people have been planting. But you see, if our government was properly ran for the people instead of for the corporations, and I'm not any corporations, they have a place to pay. I'm glad they're corporations every time I need gas. I'm glad they're corporations every time I need clothes or food. But I don't want them running us. I want them operating for our benefit. But our government right now, with just tariffs on imported goods, selling the oil that we are holding and not using, there's no need for us to import a drop of oil. And we could be getting a check every year instead of sending a check. The IRS and federal income tax is not about running our government. It's about managing your lives and keeping you in debt to the state. If unregenerate Arabs in Iraq know the resources belong to the people, then we haven't been praying right for our leadership. Do you realize you could be living a quiet and peaceable and tax-free life if you were praying right? Oh, I know you're going home and get on your knees. We can turn bad leaders around without resisting them. Do not cease to give thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. President, Senator, Congressman, Judge, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, President, Senators, Congressmen, Judiciary, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Hey, Justice, you're sitting in a courtroom where the Ten Commandments is on the wall. When you walk in the door, the left door is Roman numeral 1 through 5. The right door is Roman numeral 6 through 10. Why do you think that is? To remind them every time they open them doors of the law of God. Why is it written on the wall above their seats? They see it every day. We need to pray that their eyes be open to remember when they walk through those doors, God's word is preeminent, supreme. We are not the supreme court of the universe. We're subject to it. I want my leadership to have a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your understanding, Mr. President, Mr. Senator, Mr. Congressman, Mr. Judge, be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Pray that leaders' eyes be open to truth. Pray that godly wisdom and understanding burst forth within them, and pray for their salvation. 1 Timothy, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. Pastor, didn't we read that a while ago? Yes, but now I want you to read it as your goal or directive for your prayers. For kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. You can't be very dignified when you're broke. But you can be real dignified with a roll in your pocket. Roll on, church. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires for all men to be what?
Saved.
Pray for their salvation and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Pray for their mind to be enlightened with God's truth. As we lift leaders in proper prayer, our individual lives are improved. We can change the world one leader at a time. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is Savior of all men, especially of believers. God, you want them all saved, and I'm joining with you in your effort to get them all saved by lifting before you in prayer. Reaching the lost includes leaders in corporate America, in political America, in judicial America, in law enforcement America. Pray for the police. You may be stopped by one of them one day, and you want to be sure their eyes are open to truth and to recognize you as a fellow believer. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that, not just them, that, everything that was lost, God's will being done in the earth. For the true believer, their relationship with Jehovah, Lord of hosts, must take first place over political positions or allegiances. We submit to the Lord first through His word and His way, then to leaders. Messiah was submissive to Pilate, but he was not obedient. Are you listening, church? By praying for leaders, I ensure that I will enjoy freedom and continue to be blessed. I don't want America to fall because I live here. Well, Pastor, we can always move to Costa Rica or Belize, not if America falls. For the true believer, their relationship with Jehovah, Lord of hosts, must take first place over political positions or allegiances. We submit to the Lord first through His word and way, then to the leaders. Exodus chapter 22. We are warned not to curse a ruler of the people. You shall not curse God nor curse a ruler of your people. Don't curse a ruler. Pray for God's will to be done in their life. Cursing rulers is linked to reviling God. Furthermore, in your bedchamber, do not curse a king. And in your sleeping rooms, do not curse a rich man. Well, it's those blankety blank 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 rich people. No. Honey, if there wasn't rich people, who would sign your check? Don't hate rich people. Pray that God use them for your good. Pray that they get richer so they can pay you more. But cursing leaders is linked to reviling God. Why? Those positions that they occupy are God's will. They're just not lining up with the will God has for the office they're in. So pray them around. Furthermore, church, don't go there. This verse amplifies the thought conveyed in the previous verse. Do not curse leaders. Do not listen to anyone cursing leaders. Do not be aligned to any movement cursing leaders, because you're coming against God's will. Pray that the person in that position of authority do what God ordained that authority to do. If a human command goes against the word of God, we must obey God instead of that command. We can pray leaders out, but we do not curse them. Psalms chapter 109, verse 8. Brother Steve, there it is. Let his days be few and let another take his office. Sometimes we have to pray Psalms 109, verse 8 for people in political office. God's word teaches us to have respect for authority. It is God's authority. A child of God should have that office, and if they don't, pray that they do. There can be no power except as God allows. This is from Herbert W. Armstrong when John F. Kennedy was elected president. Now, I know you're struggling, Pastor, you're quoting Herbert W. Armstrong. Yes, in this instance I am, because this is what he wrote to his followers when Kennedy was elected president. God's word teaches us to have respect for authority. There can be no power except as God allows. The Bible does not teach that this world's governments are righteous or representing God. But so long as God allows them to wield an authority He established, it's an authority He established, even though they wield it contrary to His laws, to disrespect a government is to disrespect God. You notice how many people pretend to believe in God to get elected? Oh, I'm against gay marriage. Oh, I'm a Christian. Well, you ain't been to church since you got elected. Now you already sudden changed your mind. You wasn't very far against it because now you suddenly... Are you listening, church? They pretend. Don't listen to their lives. Watch their example. If you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, live the right. The office is ordained of God, however the person in it may not be. Don't curse the office. Pray for a change in the office. We pray God's will, not man's success in office. The will of God will never go contrary to the word of God. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. To every human institution, God set leadership and positions in place to establish His lordship over the earth. over the spheres of influence and over godly leaders. Pray for God's man to be in office. Or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Prayer plays a pivotal role in bringing about kingdom of light, rule, and reign in the earth. Seek first the kingdom of God. God, I want your man in every office. I want your woman in every position. Leadership may be national. It may be state, county, or city leaders, elected or appointed. It may be pastors, elders, board members, department heads, or employers. Pray the word over them. Pray the word concerning them. Pray God's will be done in their lives. Our leaders can impact the conditions in which we live. Their actions can affect our homes, our families, our churches, our business, our cities, and our future freedoms. Pray God's word concerning them. When William Tyndale was being burned at the stake by the King of England, his last words were a prayer. Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. We pray for God to direct the lives of leaders as their actions bear directly on our lives. Pray that God's will be fulfilled in leaders' lives, that his hand direct their hearts. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hands of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Father, I live before you, our president, our vice president. I live before you, Congress. I live before you, the Senate. I live before you, the Supreme Court and the judiciary of our nation. And Father, I decree their heart is in your hand, and you're turning it to your truth and to your purpose for our land. Pray that God surround leaders with godly counsel and people of truth, because the wrong people whispering in their ear could ruin your life. Pray for the Father's will and purpose to be formed in the hearts of the members of the executive, the legislative, judicial branches of government. Pray for leadership, those in authority. It's not an option. It's the will of God. And they all sighed a breath of relief as they turned to the last page and saw it's not a full page. Our great God can redirect or change leadership as we stand in the gap. Ezekiel, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. I don't want that prayer, that scripture being full today. I want God to see Suzanne. I want God to see Ethel. I want God to see Roger. I want God to see Ruth. I want God to see you standing in the gap between God and the leadership of our land. The great British pastor Charles Spurgeon said, prayer is the tender nerve that moves the omnipotent muscle of God. Prayer is the slender nerve. My wife noticed that I wasn't reading from the page I was quoting, and I quoted wrong. So here you go. Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the omnipotent muscle of God. Pray His will and receive His blessings. Our prayers can become the wings of revival. Oh, I like that. Our prayers can become the wings of revival when we create an atmosphere conducive to the spreading of the gospel. Pray for leadership. Our word-based prayers. Now, right here where prayers and create, I want you to draw a line between those words so it comes down below that line, and there I want you to write will, can, do. It's up to me. So let me read it that way. Our word-based prayers, will, can, do. It is up to you. Create the future we desire to live in. Father, I've delivered your word to your people. And I decree that your word is working in our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Your will, your plan, your purpose can, will, and is being done in the land. Father, I thank you that the eyes of leadership at every level of our nation are being opened to your truth. I curse the lies and tricks and schemes of the wicked one that would pervert them away from your truth. And I decree that their eyes are diverted from evil and turn to the living God and to your truth, and that they are doing your will and your plan and purpose is being accomplished on our behalf, that we may know the joy of our salvation in its fullest extent. And the people said,
Amen.
You are blessed. Receive the invictive today. Become an intercessor. Become a person of prayer. Become one who stands in the gap between our God and our nation. And watch it change for our benefit. You're loved. Go with God.